Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geox Group First Half 2012 conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. The call is chaired by Geox Chairman and Founder, Mr. Mario Moretti Polegato, the CEO, Mr. Diego Bolzonello, the Corporate Managing Director, Massimo Stefanello, and the CFO, Mr. Livio Libralesso. Please go ahead.
Mario Moretti Polegato speaking. Good morning, good afternoon to everybody, and thank you to attending this conference call. As usual, here with me, there are Diego Bolzonello, CEO, Massimo Stefanello, Corporate Director, and Livio Libralesso, CFO. Diego will give you a strategic view of the group, and Massimo and Livio will give you a brief overview of the quarter result before your questions.
Good morning, good afternoon to everybody. Diego Bolzonello speaking. Before leaving the floor to Massimo to present the 2012 first half results, I would like to summarize them in a few strategic points. These points clearly describe the potential impact resulting from the action we have been taking in the last two years to consolidate the strength of our brand despite the European crisis, especially in the countries where we are strong, like Italy and Spain. First, the main action is to rationalizing the supply chain in order to increase the margins and product quality while prices remain within our medium high range. As a result, while the retail price have been slightly increased, we obtained a solid growth of the gross margin of 280 basis points in the first half 2012. The second very important point, in our direct operating shops network, we have introduced a new system for the management of orders and replenishment. This is based on a reduced initial allocation of product to the store, followed by frequent replenishments of best-selling products according to the in-season sell-out. Thanks to this more focused operation, the like-for-like of our direct operated shop is positive, up 6%, and we experienced also an increase in margin, even in the difficult area like Italy with a 3% like-for-like, and Spain with 6% like-for-like growth. Finally, we are closing the not performing direct operated stores. It's important to highlight that we have closed only stores opened more than three years ago, while those recently opened are all making profits. Sure that the decrease in sale of the wholesale channel is due to the crisis and of this form of distribution, and also to our restrictive policy in term of credit risk and positioning. The opening of mono-brand shops and the like-for-like growth did not offset the decrease in the wholesale channel. Therefore, the company has decided to first well-define the initial purchasing budget order for the franchising and the wholesaler with the shop-in-shop or corners, as we are doing in our DOS with the excellent resultation, where they will initially buy the reduced quantity we define, and they will then get in season just-in-time replenishment in order to increase their sell-through and the profitability. Second, we are accelerating the new Geox shop opening also in Europe, taking advantage of excellent location availability and more reasonable rents. Have a direct presence in China is another very important bullet point. We have a new directly operated store located in the most important cities. Matter of fact, within this year, we'll have 13 direct operated shop DOS in Hong Kong and Macau from the three that we started the year. While in China, we start a completely new branch in Shanghai with new directly operated stores that will rise to eight from zero at the end of the year. All these action, those action can be simply summarized in just one important result. In the first half of 2012, the direct operated shop sales increased by 8 million euros, while the DOS EBITDA increased by 4.7 million euros, so equal to 59%. So that's now the time to Massimo. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. This is Massimo Stefanello. The key facts of the Geox Group 2012 first half results are: sales reach 429 million, down 4% as announced back in May. Like-for-like of directly operated stores year-to-date is up 3%. In line with previous conference call, the performance of spring-summer continues to be resilient, growing 6% versus previous year, positive in all regions, including those more affected by the economic downturn. EBITDA margin was 56.7 million, 13.2% on sales. EBIT was at 37 million, 8.6 on sales. Net income was 21.3 million, 5% on sales. Cash position is growing again at 80.1 million euro. And during H1 12, we added 32 net monobrand stores. On page 2, we have the sales by channel. Wholesale is declining 14%. Franchising is up 8%. This is mainly due to the increase of the number of doors. In the first half, wholesale and franchising channel, or what we call third parties, are down 8%, while the order backlog of the spring-summer 12 only was substantially flat. This gap is due to lower promotional sales during the markdown period of January and February due to a weak fall-winter 2011 season. Our decision to cancel some of the spring-summer 12 orders of clients, particularly in Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Greece, which were delaying payments or were not considered financially sound. A lower than expected spring-summer 12 reorder campaign for both wholesale and franchising channels. Our decision to support the franchising network with a softer return policy in order to reduce the stock at retail level. This accounting-wise is translating on a higher provision for end-of-season returns. On the other side, our directly operated stores channel is growing 8% in the H1, or 8 million euro. This result is split as follows. Space effect represents about 5 million euro, and the like-for-like performance of 3% represents about 3 million euro. Going to the more current view of spring-summer 12 season, from week 9 to week 29, so 2 weeks, 1 week and few days ago, a very positive performance of plus 6%. In particular, considering the geography of our DOS sales, where Italy and Spain represent 41% of the total. To Diego's earlier words, I believe that the work we have done, both in terms of improving our product range and the way in which we operate our stores, is bringing fruits. By country, we have U.S., Japan, and Germany growing mid to high teens. France, Spain, and Canada growing mid-single. Italy, Hong Kong, and Benelux growing single digit. In terms of sales equation, the sales performance has been obtained through higher gross margin due to a lower discount, higher average selling price, higher unit per ticket, higher traffic. Furthermore, it is important to highlight that our network of flagship stores is, as usual, overperforming the whole chain with a nice 9% like-for-like growth of the spring-summer 12 to date. Please turn on page 3, where we have the sales by product, with footwear down 5% and apparel down 2%. On page 4, we have the detail by region, with Italy down 8, Europe 5, with Spain, which is affecting the area for 15%, North America down 4%. In the rest of the world, which is up 8%, we have a weak result of Greece, down double digit, and outstanding positive result of the Eastern European markets and Russia, up double digit. On page 5, we have the chart with our monobrand network, where you see that we had the 32 net locations during H1. 24 have been in Italy, 9 in Europe, mainly Spain, France, and the Netherlands, and 1 in the rest of the world, being this the set-off of the significant activity in Eastern Europe and the termination of our distribution deal in China and Hong Kong. 32 is the net of 93 openings and 61 closures. Despite the challenges of the economic cycle, the company is continuing to pursue its strategic plan to add image maker monobrand location to the benefit of brand awareness, increase of the product portfolio, and the evolution of the market. I confirm the target of 9,500 net openings during the entire 2012, with around 40 openings in Italy, 25 in Europe, France, with 19, Spain, 4, and 3 in the Netherlands, 25 in Eastern Europe, pretty all the countries across the board, 3 net in Asia, which means 18 openings in China, Hong Kong, and Macau, to replace the ones operated by Belle, plus the new Geox store in India and few others in Korea and Vietnam. 5 in the Middle East. As usual, we believe that 25-30 of the said openings will be DOS. I hand over to Geox CFO Livio Libralesso for the financial, and then he will come back to me with the guidance.
Good morning and good afternoon to everybody. Let's go now to page 7 to comment first half 12 income statement. Consolidated sales at 429 million, down 4% on last year, as already commented. Gross profit was equal to 209 million, 48.7% on sales compared with 45.9%. showing an important increase of 280 basis points. Consequently, gross profit is up 3 million, despite sales have decreased 19 million, and this recovery is in line with our expectation. The impact of higher raw material and labor costs have been more than balanced by 4 positive factors. First, the improvement in the sellout of the DOS chain, which reported accordingly a higher profitability. Second, selected increase in prices. Third, the anti-dumping duties cancellation regarding leather products made in China and made in Vietnam. And last, the positive forex effect due to the hedging of US dollar at 1.35 this season compared to 1.24 in spring-summer 11. Selling and distribution was 23 million, 5.4% on sales, in line with last year. G&A were 125 million, 29.1% on sale compared to 25.9% of last year. The increase is 9.1 million and it is explained by 3.6 million due to the operating costs and D&A of the new DOS that we opened in the last 12 months, 5.4 million due to the investments in the marketing, merchandising, and product departments, and to the development of the subsidiaries, of the new subsidiaries in Russia, in Eastern Europe, and in China, to exploit in the near future the huge market potential of these emerging markets, where our presence is still at a starting point and where the group is experiencing interesting growth rates. All the other core G&A expenses were in line with last year, and we keep maintaining a strict control or even a reduction in order to finance the new projects. Advertising and promotion was 23 million, 5.5% on sales, and for the full year we maintain this percentage on sales as guidance. EBIT before special items declined by 80 basis points, and this confirms that the group is investing the higher gross margin in the product division and in the development of the emerging markets. Special item equal to 2.1 million contains the way out expenses related to the closures of non-performing stores, 5 in Germany, 1 in Italy, 1 in the US in Santa Monica. Income taxes were 11.8 million with a tax rate at 36% compared with 38% of last year. And for the full year, we maintain our guidance at 34% tax rate. Net result was 21.3 million, 5% on sales, compared with 24.3% of last year. EBITDA before special items was 13.2% on sales with a dilution of 50 basis points. On page 8, the balance sheet, again totally in order and healthy. The shareholders' equity is 428 million and the invested capital is 359. Consequently, the group has a strong net cash position of 80 million. To have some more details regarding working capital, please go to page 9. The operating working capital as percentage on sales was 23.8% compared to 22.8% of last year. The increase equals to 10 million. You can see that inventories decreased almost 13 million compared to first half 11, and this is mainly due to a timing effect regarding receivings of the current fall winter 12 season. There is an increase in payables, and this reflects better payment terms granted to Geox by our suppliers. At the end, the increase in operating working capital is mainly related to the account receivables that were up 25 million due to some extension of the payment terms granted to our franchisee, mainly in Italy and in Spain. On page 10, we can see the cash flow statement. The dynamics in the working capital mainly explains also the positive result on cash flow. The first half operating cash flow is 55 million, with an improvement of 23 million compared to 32 of the same period of last year. The change in the operating working capital produces 11 million of cash, while last year absorbed 22 million. Net capex were 22 million, so 10 million higher than in the first half 11. As already explained, at the end of the period, the net cash position was solid at 80 million. Let me now hand over again to Massimo Stefanello for the final remarks.
Hello, this is Massimo again. I would like to wrap up our expectation for the balance of the year. As you can remember from our May conference call, the key points of our guidance were sales between 820 million and 830 million euro, gross margin recovery of 150-200 basis points, EBITDA margin dilution from 200 to 300. From May on, what we have seen is the termination of the distribution agreement in China and Hong Kong with Belle International that will impact approximately of a further 2.5 decline in the 2012 backlog of fall/winter, not offset by an increase of our DOS sales in the area. This was not included in the -15% backlog previously communicated. An increased challenge in the consumer environment of our core market, especially in the franchising channel. Therefore, I expect a reduced size of our planned fall/winter 2012 reorder campaign, despite the NOS, never out of stock program we have ready to go in October. The confirmation of our margin recovery generated by the important effort in the sourcing area and by a stricter markdown policy. The significant revaluation of US dollar versus euro with a negative impact on our profitability as our US operation is still losing money. Given the above, we are guiding in this way. The top line will be in the bottom part of the bracket, 820 million euro. EBITDA margin will be a notch higher than 10%. The above will bring our net income between 23 million and 26 million euro. Let me now spend a few words on our future methodology to provide the market with visibility about the top line. As very well known, Geox has been using so far the next season order backlog as the best tool to provide such visibility. As presented by Diego a few minutes ago, our new way of supplying our trade customers is to improve the match between sell-in and sell-out. This means that the order backlog as proxy for next collection sales is becoming less and less meaningful. This means that effective next quarter end of spring/summer 2013 sell-in campaign, we will no longer release the order backlog, but we will share our best estimate for the first half of 2013 sales, and so on. Now we are ready to take your question. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Paul Swinand of Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thanks for taking our questions. First, just on the inventory, since that was a component of increased cash flow, is there anything in the timing, or is it purely due to better operating, you know, better operating policies? Do you think you can keep increasing the turns in the future?
You know, Geox collect the orders and then receive the goods from the suppliers and sells the goods to wholesale and franchising. If we look at the fall/winter 2012 season in the month of July and August and September. The new season does not impact on working capital because if we receive products in June, in any case we have the debt to suppliers and the inventories on hand at June. So this means that the positive effect on the working capital as of June 12 is mainly due to the increase in the payment term to suppliers. We have been able to improve the payment terms from at site or 30 days to 60 days, and we will keep this kind of new payment terms also in the future.
Okay, thank you for that. And then just if you could add a little more color, since it sounds like the comps at comp store sales and franchising were flat. You said most of the 8% was due to store growth or door growth. Can you maybe explain why the franchising is not keeping up with the DOS? Is it just because you control the DOS and can do more?
I think it's a combination of two things. For sure, it's a product issue. We do believe that the product assortment chosen by our franchisee in spring-summer 12 has been more conservative on ours. They probably didn't, let me use this question, trust the new deal in terms of product assortment that we were pursuing. And this is, of course, an operation issue, because we have been able to, through the new IT system and the new guide of the new leadership in the retail department, we have been able to replace or reorder all the product that we sell. As long as we have sell out, we replace. And as you can appreciate, in the shoe business, it's much more important not to break the size run. And of course, we benefit as we have a bigger chain of 260 units methodology, without pushing too much on the working capital in the inventory. And that's why. That's why I'm saying that in the next spring summer we will use the same methodology in terms of orders. Opening orders or sell-in order or the first wave of product into stores. Than we are using for DOS. And this also means, and this is to the point of the backlog, we will not take 100% order from our franchisee, but probably something around 80% of their season order, leaving at least 20% of their orders open, and as long they sell, we will supply with the same merchandise or new merchandise. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. So just to be clear, the franchisees are going on that new system in the next season, where the DOS is already on. Is that correct?
Spring summer 13. Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. And then one more question, I'll let somebody else get in. Did I hear you say that even in the last 9 to 29 weeks, Spain and Italy are up? And is that, you said, due to higher gross margin and lower discounts? And I guess usually I would
yes.
think...
Yes, that's true.
Okay,
that's
I heard
true.
That correctly?
Yes, the Italy was up a single digit with... around 1.5% better gross margin, and Spain was up mid-single digit with 2.5% better gross margin.
I guess my question would be, usually when we've seen financial crises in the macro economy, we see a lot more discounts. But maybe since the European crisis has been brewing for so long, are shops so conservative that they're out of inventory? I'm just wondering why gross margins would be going up and discounts would be going down.
If we go back in detail to the sales equation, I have Italy with a positive traffic. It's a single-digit positive traffic, lower than the increase in sales. So we had a better conversion, actually, or a flat conversion, a better UPT, and a slightly higher price. As far as Spain is concerned, we have a lower traffic, but a better conversion rate and an higher UPT. So conversion rate, UPT, unit per ticket, are, of course, the way in which we operate the store. And to the point I was making, the fact that I was keeping on replenish what was sold has an impact on conversion rate and UPT. So the traffic was indeed minimal, as I said, slightly negative and slightly positive, but we have been able to duplicate or triplicate this magnitude with the way in which we operate stores.
Got it. Well, very interesting results, and thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Stefano Cornegliani of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first one regards retail, and that's the question. Having again seen the structurally stronger performance of your retail locations vis-a-vis both franchising and multi-brands to an even greater extent, are you tempted to speed up on retail investing at least part of the cash you're still sitting on? And secondly, is about your hedging strategy on 2013. Firstly, if you could update us on the percentage of your purchases already hedged and eventually the hedging rate. And secondly, if there's any special action we should take in our mind when struggling to extrapolate 2013 gross margin. Thank you.
As far as retail, I think after the, I should say, hectic years of 07, 08, when we open more than 60 DOS, DOS, I think we need to be more, the size of 100 with around 30, 35, 25, it depends on the years, DOS is the healthy number that we can operate without damaging the profitability. I mean, to Livio's point of earlier, even in this quarter, we had some significant financial hit of one store that we closed in California, opened in 08. So, and as you probably remember from past conversation, the golden rule, 6% for world contribution for flagship and around 20%, 21% for world contribution for non-flagship is something that we don't want to forget, because it's relatively easy to open, but of course closed stores, especially with long contracts, it's indeed quite complicated. And this is about the, so again, in our plans, we have around 100 new monobrand per year. And as far as the edging, Spring-Summer 13 is definitely is edged at 100%. The number, the hedging rate is 132.50, and it's done. We are starting collection, the collection, the order intake. But this is the price, this is the exchange rate that I have in my price list. and this is not going to change. For the second part of the year, of course, we have not started doing anything. Unfortunately, we didn't buy the $150 million that we need we needed before, and now we are sitting on 122, 125, 120. I don't know. We will, as you know, we don't have a speculative approach on exchange rate, and that's why we hedge our price list before starting the order intake. Of course, just for the sake of argument, given the fact that 80% of our purchasing, of our sourcing is U.S. denominated, the U.S. dollar denominated, a 10% increase or decrease of euro vis-a-vis dollars has a direct impact on profitability. 10% increase due to, with all other things equal, being equal, 10% is about 4% of gross margin dilution. The market has a limited ability to accept a price increase. I think we need to, and we have to work, and we are already working, I have to say, in the production and the collection setup for autumn-winter 13, probably start buying merchandise, I mean the raw material, like we as you probably remember, we did a few years ago. Starting early and buying merchandise, given also the big quantities that we buy, we could tactically change a bit that percentage of 80% U.S. dollar denominated, because North Africa and some countries of Eastern Europe, of course, are euro denominated. So I'm saying that the goal that we have to increase our profitability of 150 basis point will be probably achievable, or could be achievable, in spring-summer 13. It's going to be difficult for the second part of 2013, because no question, we can't pass the full increase of the exchange rate to the market.
Very clear. Thanks.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening to everybody. I do apologize, I joined the conference call quite late, actually 5 minutes ago. Partly, one of my questions has just been answered. I would like to know if you can elaborate what's your, let's say, inflation scenario in your costs. In particular, what's the trend in labor costs in, let's say, in Far East production, or anyway, your subcontracting countries. As far as rents are concerned, is that correct to assume 2-3% inflation on your rent cost? That's basically for the time being. Thank you very much.
As far as the input cost, for sure we have seen, and also this semester, this season, to Livio's point of earlier, we have seen some input costs that increase that we have faced with the help of exchange rate, but more than everything with the effectiveness of our sourcing platform project, which is something more than just having a sample room in Asia. And it's a complete redesign of the operation project that we cover in previous conference call. This is about the labor cost. I mean, I've seen today something which surprised me, but it's probably pretty logical, that cotton prices and also wool prices are no longer growing. Even they are even decreasing vis-a-vis a year ago. I think that at the end of the day, the slow demand that we are seeing in many European countries will create for sure an availability of raw materials, and for sure some spare capacity that could be exploited by a company like us that I think traditionally we have been always very fast and very flexible in adapting our production geography to the different cost models. As far as the rent, to be very honest with you, I can disclose numbers because I don't have numbers, but you can take for granted that we have started to talk with landlords, because if the traffic is doing in such a way, especially in certain countries, probably this is the moment to share some heat in the rental cost. And again, I don't have numbers, but I have in my objectives for 2013 try to steal some millions euro in the rental cost of our DOS.
Okay, thank you very much. If I may, I miss very likely some of your previous indication. You were mentioning that you hope or you aim to expand the gross margin by 100-150 basis points in spring-summer 2013, if that is correct, and why. And secondly, let's suppose you will not be able to save on rents. With your program of openings of the 100, let's say, dozen franchisee for next year, how much impact your, let's say, G&A expenses? If I was clear.
As far as the margin, for spring summer 13, as you can appreciate, is pretty early because I have a certain mix in my price list, but the real mix which will impact on the profit and loss gross margin in a year from now, it's really depending on the actual mix. What I can confirm is that given the, let's say, favorable exchange rate, which is nominally negative, 130-250 vis-a-vis 135, and the work that we have done operationally, I expect to be near or a little bit better than spring-summer 12 in the spring-summer 13 gross margin. This is the goal that I have, and this is the goal that I have, the objective that I have used to prepare the price list. Of course, now we have just started. It's really a question of days, the order collection, and I need to see how the order will progress in order to see and to check whether these objectives will be realized or not. As far as the openings in 2013. As I said earlier, I don't expect, despite the fact that we are generating higher contribution from the DOS, so they are starting contributing to the profitability instead of reducing it. And this is not the budget session for 2013, by the way. I can confirm that the 25-20 number is what you have, what we will do. And so you can assume for your models that the increase of G&A due to TOS that you see in 2012 is something that you will see next year as well, net of any saving in terms of operating costs that we could achieve, which I have not factored in any budget so far.
Thank you very much. You've been very kind.
You're welcome.
The next question is a follow-up from Paul Swinand of Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you again. Just to follow up on the leases, I know you've closed a number of stores each quarter, each half. The way the leases are structured, do you have the option to kick out of the lease, or is it just at a 5 or 10 year end of lease period? Now, most of the leases we see in the States are locked in for 5 or 10 years, but if you have the option to leave if you don't meet sales targets, that it gives a lot more flexibility to you and puts more financial risk on the lessor.
To close stores is a lot of sweat, because to your point, we have agreements for 5 years, 10 years, 12 years sometimes. In Italy, for example, it's 12 years. The first time you go to the landlord and you ask for a termination, and normally the answer is no. So you come back the second time and you show, the second time you start showing that the numbers are not coming through. And if you are lucky, and this is normally more often with, let's say, high street stores owned by families, especially in Southern Europe, can I have a reduction of 5,000 euro per month for the next 12 months? And so on. And sometimes they say yes, because, I mean, we are a pretty reputable tenant. We are a very well-known brand. And in Italy, where you can get out from the store if you can sell the business, they prefer to keep you. Shopping centers around the world are much less easy to deal with. Sometimes you stop paying the rent, and then you restart paying the rent. And then when they see that, and this is the way just to draw their attention. Again, it's a complicated thing. All the stores that we have closed, the vast majority of the stores that we have closed in the last 3 years, they have been closed with in presence of the contract. Sometimes you find out a new tenant, you present the tenant, you introduce the new tenant, and the new tenant takes the store. Or sometimes they don't like the new tenant. Again, I mean, it's going to take probably the next hours or so for me to explain the different techniques. But this is the way in which you do. I mean, they are in business as well, and they can understand sometimes that if you lose money or if you have a very normally if you lose money in one way or in another, they have to help you in finding a solution. Again, it's very difficult, especially in shopping center, where the shopping center has sold the property to a mutual fund, and because they have to guarantee some sort of yield, and so they are very less flexible than what you can imagine.
So to be clear, in general, you have 5, 10, or 12-year structural agreements, but you're most often able to negotiate a situation if it needs to be done. It's just it varies from location to location.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Paola Carboni of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everybody. I have three questions, actually. The first one is about the trend in DOS, like-for-like. which I mean, as far as my understanding can go, has seen probably a slight slowdown in June and maybe an acceleration in July, as your calculation ends with July 22nd. So I'm wondering if you actually have seen a pickup in the end of season discounted sales, and if so, whether we should expect or not a negative impact in the Q3 gross margin. My second question is about the gross margin trend for the first semester. If you can specify, as you did sometimes in the past, the contribution of each single driver to the gross margin change. So you mentioned the price increase, lower markdown, forex, and so on. So if you can say how much basis point, how many basis points were driven by each single driver. Then I have a further question on G&A, because based on the new guidance we have provided, it seems to me that also your indication for G&A on a full-year basis is being revised upwards. So if you can be more precise on that and possibly elaborate on the consequences of turning the Bell business to a direct business. And finally, a more strategic question on your distribution approach. You said we are not going to accelerate our retail expansion, so the cruise speed of 25-30 new stores per annum is fine for us. But I'm wondering if, on the other side, you are thinking about a further downsizing of the multi-brand channel. So not only the let's say the cleaning you had this year following the downturn, but possibly active downsizing during the next few quarters. Thank you very much.
So regarding the gross margin, the negative impact of higher raw material and labor cost accounts for 320 basis points. And then we have four positive factors. The first one is the channel mix that is positive. You know, the like-for-like of our, the positive like-for-like of our DOS, and in addition, a 3% lower discounts in our network leads to 80 basis points of improvement. 100 basis points is due to the increase in prices. So we selected increased prices, not all the collection. Mm-hmm. And the anti-dumping duties cancellation accounts for 70 basis points. And very important, the Forex, 101.35 compared to 1.24 accounts for 350 basis points. So the balance is a positive increase in gross margin of 280.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the like-for-like by month, let's say, we have a very good in the second quarter, because this is the question. Of course, April was not that good because of the Easter effect, as you probably remember. March was very good. April was slightly negative. May was positive, double digit. June was flat. And this is also because the switch of the sales, the sale period in France, which is of course significantly affecting the sales. In Italy, we had, the official start date was July last year and was July this year as well. But as you probably remember, last year many companies and us as well used some other ways to bring some discounted product to customers. This year we been very strict on this policy, so that's why June was flat. July was positive double digit so far, so we are low double digit actually. So with lower discounts, to my previous point, so I don't see significant deceleration of our the way in which we operate in as far as spring summer is concerned. Of course, now spring summer products are phasing out, and we have the autumn winter in front of us, which is probably, as you remember from the May conference, is in our plan positive like for like in mid single digit, which given the negative around 4 or 5% of last year seems feasible to me. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a matter of marketplace, product, weather, how we operate the store, the usual weapons, the usual causes that defines the like-for-like of every single season.
Okay, sorry, just a follow-up on this, if I may. Considering that the end-of-season discounted sales period was so strong in July with low double-digit growth, do you expect for the third quarter a less favorable mix between discounted sales and full-price sales compared to last year, or it was already quite awful last year, let's say?
No, I mean... August is the smallest month of the year, so it will not make any difference, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. September is an important month. Last year was significantly negative, as you probably remember, mm-hmm. from the weather problem that the hot weather that we had in September last year. So again, I don't think that our forecast is pretty aggressive. It's very aggressive, planning mid-single in the entire autumn-winter. But again, we need, let's say, 6 weeks, 8 weeks to understand whether or not the autumn-winter collection will be a boom or not. And that's why I don't have information, to be honest with you. Despite that the traffic is what it is, and we discussed earlier on how we operate the stores in this day. Just for you to understand, in this very week, we divide the stores in two groups. One group is the, let's say, still spring-summer stores, which are located in shopping center in the more mass market location, where we will concentrate merchandise, trying to compact the size run in order to provide the assortment for keeping with the spring-summer sales. And the best location, flagship and image maker stores, where we will start, and this is happening right now while I speak, we will have the autumn-winter look. So new visual, new products, flowing in, and let's start with how the autumn winter is looking like. We have already very very few example of products with a more fashion touch, which are doing decently well, decently good in the top location. But again, this is indeed too early. Mm-hmm. As far as G&A in the second part of the year, this is really depending on the point I was making about the US dollar. That's why you have a sales still at 820, because I benefit at the sales level of the sales of US, which are weighting more in euro denomination, but at the cost of US, which are unfortunately weighting more than the recap of sales, are the only line that is indeed growing from the previous guidance or the previous forecast of the year to this one. And as far as the your more strategic question about the share, the market share of channels, probably 100 is a bit conservative. We would like to see another season of increased profitability of our monobrand. We want to see how our franchisee will react on our new system of managing merchandise and flowing product in before to pushing the envelope on monobrand. For sure, monobrand is the way in which we will bring product to the market for the future, that's sure. We want to see and we want to test the model with Spring-Summer 13 before pushing the envelope. And this is probably an answer to how wholesale will change in the future. Probably, and we are starting proposing this methodology also for wholesale customer, just providing them with a certain set of products that will be supplied from us on a sort of a package deal with the commitment of the company to replenish what they sell and advertising them on the same basis. So to my previous point, probably this is the key also to keep a wholesale, which is probably having some difficulties in the marketplace as a distribution format, this will probably help us to keeping the wholesale up to speed. But again, our channel of future for sure is monobrand. As far as wholesale, this is another issue that we discussed earlier. Probably, and I don't know in how many wholesalers we will succeed in doing like this. The solution could be to get a space instead of orders. And when I say space, I say basically shopping shop and corners, which are some sort of monobrand within a multi-brand stores. So I try to describe you some techniques or some views that we have on wholesale, which is by definition, and as we can see, is a channel that, especially in Southern Europe, is facing some difficulties. I don't know if this.
Yes, let's say just to summarize, so we shouldn't expect in the next few seasons any further negative trend in the multi-brand business because of your actions, so because of your cut in the number of customers, because of cancellation from you. So you believe that after the recent cleaning, your multi-brand network is more or less safe, let's say, and so we should think about a normalized performance for the wholesale multi-brand channel?
Let me start the Spring-Summer 13 order collection to answer in a more reliable way to this question. Because to be honest with you, I share with you what we are doing. If this will be happening. I need to see how it works. Again, it's a distribution format that in our core markets, in the Southern European markets, is facing very hard times. That's something that you can appreciate by yourself. Think about in a shopping center, no multi-brand in the shoe category at all. Mm-hmm. Very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
Just a chain of multi-brand. High street, think about how many shoe multi-brand you were used to see 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and now.
Yes, yes, I totally understand the point, and in fact, many players are going towards this direction, not only because of the downturn, but as a general strategic approach. So I was wondering if you have this same strategic approach, or we just saw a cleaning for the downturn, and now that's it.
Absolutely.
You haven't made up your mind maybe on this yet, I don't know.
No, I mean, we are a 1,100 SKU collection per season company. We can't imagine just to sell 30, 50 to one single customer. There is no meaning. I mean, they will not portray our brand. So from a strategic standpoint, the avenue is monobrand. No discussion about that.
Okay, and just a final point, because you have mentioned we are going to apply the same sourcing approach we have for our DOS also to our franchising customers in order to ensure them replenishment on a more continuative basis. I don't know if you can share with us, do you have maybe now any different tools compared to the past which can allow you to do this? Maybe you have further updated your warehouse, your logistic, your software, I don't know.
Yes, we have the same tool that we use for DOS, we are using for franchising. We are planning the order intake of our franchising customers,
mm-hmm.
exactly like our DOS, planning the like-for-like that we want them realize, looking at the sell-through of the current spring-summer 12 season, looking at their target sales, and looking at the category of sales and the weight of each category just to calculate their budget. I mean, again, it's something that we have already in-house. As you probably remember, we did a huge investment for giving to ourselves, to our DOS, this system, this
mm-hmm.
IT system, and we use exactly the same system. A different group of people, but with the same system, with the same logic. They are coming through exactly like our DOS.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think this is the last question. Just take the last one if anybody has.
Okay, the last question is a follow-up from Stefano Cornegliani of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon again, Stefano. A couple of follow-up, very quick questions. The first one to Livio. It's about the tax rate, a boring one. Given the softer pre-tax we're going to see in 2012, are you confirming the tax rate you were guiding before? And secondly, if you could just briefly update us on your online project. Thank you.
So I take the funny question of online because as far as tax rate is indeed out of my ability. As far as online, we are online actually. I receive this week my first pair of GX shoes. I'm testing the return procedure and we will open to a selected group of VIP people and employees of the company on August 20. And if everything is okay, we will open to the public on September the 20th, at the beginning of autumn-winter. As I don't know if I have described how the system works, the pretty innovative thing is that we will not have a specific inventory for online, but we will use the inventory of stores. So the system is updating on basically online methodology online the stocks of all the our DOS in the country where the customer is. And in the first period, in the first testing period, we will use Italy, Germany, and UK. So the consumer will see the stocks available in store. After the selecting the product, stores are motivated to pick up the orders, like to have a physical customer in front of them. So in all the logistic process starts from the stores. Again, this is pretty innovative because many other companies are using stores for delivering products, but our product doesn't come from the central warehouse, but from the individual individual store inventory, and that's what we believe is the better combination of keeping an attention to the working capital and at the same time giving efficiency.
Thank you.
The tax rate is driven by the business. We are saying that in the next future the growth will derive from Eastern Europe, from Russia, and from Asia. And these countries are under the responsibilities of our new subsidiaries. And in these countries, the tax rate is lower than European tax rates. So changing the mix, the market mix, will drive to a reduction of the tax rate. And so for the time being, we consider 34 this year, and maybe also next year, and then we can also have a slight reduction in the tax rate.
Thank you, Livio.
Thank you. All interesting questions. The next conference call, the 9-month 2012 results, will be taken on November the 8th at 5:30 p.m. Central European Time. Thank you very much. If you have any question, please call Marina, myself, or Livio. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.